361, and like we do often here at the Wash Up Walk-Ons, we're going to do it a bit differently today. You're going to get plenty of previews of this Ohio State game at other podcasts, other brands, other people, right? We've had 2 weeks to preview this game. They're good. We know it's going to be a tough one. So we decide to walk you back to the last time we played Ohio State. Some good memories, some fun times. Let's do it. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Episode 361 of the Wash Up Walk-Ons podcast is here, and I was formally invited to this one for the first time ever. Kluver said that that's the only way to get me to show up these days is to send a formal invitation to something that I thought I had an open door policy to whenever I wanted. So I'm feeling a little bit kicked off the ship, and that's how we're going to start, Kluver. And you also... You need to hand over the code to our bank account because that's what Kevin and I are looking for.
That's the code to our bank account. I can't, dude. I'm embezzling. I can't show you guys.
We know.
It's not true. In fact, I told Kevin everything he wanted to hear when we were talking about this last week as we were trying to, Kev, you and I had like a deep conversation about how it was like a true come to Jesus moment of like, how do we make this the only thing that we do for the rest of our lives? We were really
Patreon.com/washed up walk-ons, folks. We gotta up
that Patreon subscription to about 10K a piece, and then we might be able to do it.
Kev, see if you can't turn your mic up a little bit. You sound good. You're on your mic, but just turn it up.
Mic is on full volume.
Okay. Go into I can help. Anyway, welcome to the Wash Up Walk-Ons podcast. A little bit of a choppy intro there. Drake is here tonight. I did formally invite him. It was more of a joke when I said it to him. I felt like, Drake, that was me respecting you in return of the disrespect that you felt from our offense, which is why it was, you know, you haven't been on the main show. It wasn't a, you know, you need permission to come on here. You are free reign to come on here whenever you want. You know that. It was me showing you respect of like, hey, we're not going to talk a lot about this year's Iowa team today, which if you were on the last episode of this podcast, Kevin Ward, Dr. Ward, CEO Ward, at the end of the show decided, hey, what if we talk about the last time we played Ohio State? Right? Even if the Hawks win on Saturday, it still probably isn't going to be as fun and exciting as it was just 5 years ago. In 2017, we are going to get there tonight. So buckle up because a lot happened. I just pulled up the play-by-play, some of the stats, reliving a few of the clips that are playing on the ESPN website. Drake was in the book. I was in the book. All Kevin had to do was find himself.
I got KF's favorite play of the night that night.
Oh, no.
He said in the media that I got his favorite play of the night.
When did he say that?
You can, that is in writing. You can go look that up. And it was, he was asked about something. And he's like, he said along the lines of, the play I want to talk about is the cut block on the backside of the zone play that JB ended up cutting up the sideline.
Yeah.
Cutting back up the sideline. That was me. Got a shout out from the head man.
I'd have to go back and find that clip. Guy could cut back in the day, huh?
It was all about a good cut. You know the Ferences. They love a good cut. And boy, did I clip that upfield knee perfect. It was a pretty textbook cut, if I do say so myself.
And guy KF clipped the knee, huh?
Oh, I got the knee pretty good. The guy went down like an absolute timber.
Felt good, huh? Knowing you, yeah, you opened that up?
Yeah. And then I still don't let JB forget that I then got up and ran him down in that same place.
Well,
never let him forget that either.
I like to not that Nate and I stay in contact a whole lot, but I like to make sure that he remembers that one of his five passing touchdowns that day was because I decided to extend that drive by a play.
Was that the cool one where he had
the defender on his leg?
He had that. It wasn't Bosa, but it was.
It wasn't Bosa.
Cooper.
I don't know. No, I don't think so. The guy plays for Cincinnati now.
Well, good for him.
Hubbard?
Hubbard. I think it was. I'm pretty sure it was Hubbard. Yeah.
Hanging on his leg, man.
Mm-hmm. And then Nick just reaches back and fires a rocket
laser
right into CJ's chest.
Dude, if CJ lets that thing just hit him, it might go through him. It might have burned a hole right through his pads, his body, and went straight into the student section. But it didn't. TJ, who is also in the league, made that catch, and fuck, we were celebrating, boys. God, it brings back good memories just to remember how
it was about the time that TJ caught that one that I was like, holy shit, we did it.
It's in the books.
It felt in the books at that point.
Well, at that point, that play happened at, let me find it.
Late in the third.
Yeah, we are in the third quarter. And there's 2.5 minutes left. 2:43 left on the clock in the third quarter when Colton throws me that ball and I fall on the 2-yard line. And TJ catches that on the next play with 2.5 minutes left. And the good guys go up 38-17.
Mm-hmm.
And it's feeling a little bit out of reach for old Buckeye there at that point, especially with the way things were rolling. Let's take it back to the beginning of that game. Let's take it back before that, Kev. Is there anything that you remember, Drake, you remember about that day other than the feeling of that week that we, again, I feel it was similar to that Michigan game the year before. I feel like things were a little tighter. I don't know. Do you guys remember anything about that week? Again, there's nothing people ask. Is there anything special you did during that week to really prepare for Ohio State? It's always the same.
No.
I had to spray paint my own cleats.
To make them all black?
Oh, so you didn't. Did we get all black spikes for that game?
Yep. But Drake,
I remember we did for Minnesota 2015, and those spikes sucked, and my feet hurt for like a week after that.
Yeah, they were all black.
I'm pretty sure, like, so I always rocked like some black and white ones.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure I just wore my normal cleats.
Oh,
I wore the big boots with the two big Velcro.
Yeah, dude, you were rocking like freaking Timberland construction boots out there.
Yeah. Which is probably why I tripped on the 2-yard line.
Should have used those Greg tokens up that week for some.
God damn it. I had them to use too. It was senior year. I didn't ask for a lot. I could have used those Greg tokens. We're getting some wholesome dog tent, some dog content in the top right. If you're watching this video, by the way, Bane is in the building and he is looking for a little bit of play love right now. He's so cute. The Hawks traveled in and, this was game number, what was this? Is this game number 8 of the year?
9, I want to say.
I want to say 9 as well.
Don't worry about the,
game
the
number silence. 9. Yep.
So it was game number 9. So obviously to take you guys listening back through this, we're going to walk it back a little bit just because we like to, this is going to be like a true good old boys. We're going to relive the good times. We opened up with Josh Allen in Kinnick that year, tore his ass apart. Josie owned him. I didn't do anything to him, but it's amazing how much you could tell that Josh was a pro and they still only scored 3 points, but you could just tell like, damn, Josh is a pro. Beat them. beat Iowa State in overtime at Iowa State, beat North Texas.
That one was wild.
The Iowa State game?
That Iowa State game was so bonkers.
Yeah. Yeah. Glad we didn't lose that one.
That's an all-timer.
So we're 3-0. We open up our Big Ten schedule with, at the time, number 8 Penn State. And that one hurt.
Man, I can just tell. I feel like our season would have gone a whole lot different if we had just
a whole lot different. We certainly wouldn't have lost at Michigan State the next week.
Hell no. Hell no.
We played so bad, it was beyond bad.
That Michigan State game was, that was embarrassing.
Bro, I don't think that game we were ever on the other side of the 50.
That was bad.
I feel like we were backed up the whole game, and our punts weren't getting across the 50. So defense was backed up all day. Offense was backed up all day. I mean, that was they beat us at the game that we like to be good at in the field position.
Yeah, that was unfortunate. So we're 3-0 going into Big Ten play. We drop to a heartbreaker to Penn State in Kinnick, and then we go and lay an egg. Not an actual egg, but
I think it was we lost 14-7, right? 17-10, something like that.
17-10.
17-10, yeah.
So we're now 3-2. We smoke Illinois. We drop one to Northwestern, which was
all-time bad game.
That was maybe worse than fucking Michigan State. We beat Minnesota. So we are 5-3. And the number 5 Ohio State Buckeyes come to town. Led by female enthusiast Urban Meyer. And at the time, who knows? You know, maybe at the time there was no fun.
No, he was still a dog.
Dog. Kevin Ward, dog. Drake, dog. It was fun because that Penn State environment is the kind of game that you play for. And it felt a little bit like this is another one of those that you can get up for, right? These are the you want to play the best in Kinnick. And I believe this game was an afternoon game, correct? It wasn't a night game, but it was afternoon.
Yeah, I think it was like a late afternoon, like 3 o'clock kick, something like that.
So it was
going to be after the first quarter, it was already getting dark at that time. Yeah,
the lights in the stadium are the primary light source. You kind of, the light from the sun fades away. So this was going to end as a night game. And I remember everything feeling pretty crisp, pretty right. There's a general feeling of how did warm-up go? How's the team playing? From a specialist perspective, the specialist warm-up went great that day. We made kicks. We were feeling good, felt loose. It was a nice night, afternoon/evening. And I don't know if there's ever been a sudden change. It's hard to say that there's a harder sudden change in Iowa football history than what Amani Hooker decided to open that game with. I think that in most fans' perspectives and probably our defensive perspective and the offensive guys on our team, everybody in that stadium was thinking, okay, Ohio State gets the ball. Here we go. Let's see if this Iowa defense can stick it to them a little bit. Bend, don't break. Get a stop. That first play, if you watch it, he does not have anybody open. He takes a little bit longer than he should to find a route.
Late throw over the middle, never a good idea.
No, isn't it, Kev?
I think this was JT Barrett's senior year, and he had been the starter there for a couple years, I want to say.
Correct.
I mean, that is a bad mistake for a veteran quarterback.
And 8 seconds into the game, if you go to the play-by-play, that is a one-play drive, interception, touchdown. Miguel Racino's extra point is good. My heart is racing because, okay, defense. Defense is out on the field. A lot of times, Kevin and I, well, all three of us, if the offense is out there and you're on punt, you're kind of ready. Defense is out there. Hey, I can take a seat. So I was thinking, I'm going to sit back. I'm on the very far edge of the bench, the last bench there is. I take a seat, place my helmet to the side. I'm literally kicked back. I'm not even watching the game. A lot of times I would watch what was happening on the Jumbotron. I'm looking up at the Jumbotron, and out of nowhere, Amani flashes into the picture. He's got the ball in his hands. And I'm like, I think I said something to myself under my breath, like, that's one hell of a fucking start, isn't it? Like, that's one way to do it. As I'm running out there, no, you know, specialist, like a little pre-rep. No pre-rep. We're kicking this thing, kick it through. It's good. I look at Miguel. Hey, maybe this is going to be a day. At that point, I think this is what happened. I think that number five, big bad Ohio State, every single one of their buttholes went like this. Got a little bit tighter. And here's what happens. When the big dog, the expected favorite, I believe they were 21 or 22 point favorites in the books that day. When they get jumped on, they now realize that this isn't going to be maybe what other games have been, maybe what they thought that this was going to be. They're going to actually have to. Now, if they mess up, they could be in a hole. They've already messed up. And so everybody plays a little tighter on our side. Everybody feels it in. We're like, okay, now we've got, this is a 7-0 ball game. We've got 60 minutes. Any thoughts on that, on the other start of the game? Any fully tented moments from you two at the beginning of that Ohio State game?
I mean, I just remember watching, and then all of a sudden, sounds like a nuclear bomb went off because the stadium just got so freaking loud. And next thing you know, Monty's in the end zone.
Yeah, I had a boner, and so that's what it is.
Yeah, I was fully erect, fully erect.
Yeah, I do remember after, ran down on kickoff, touchback, and then – just literally making my way back to the bench, pick six, and I'm like, oh shit, we got to kick off again.
It's you got to do it all again.
And I remember I was the guy that always called up the kickoffs, and it was freaking loud.
Loud.
Second one was extra fun though.
It was extra fun because they actually brought it out that time.
Yeah.
And we had a dog kickoff team that year. We had actually won like one of the best in the country. This is before you could fair catch and all that pussy bullshit. I think we got them inside the 20 on the next kickoff, and then the crowd just gets loud again.
Yeah, like the 16, if I remember correctly.
He returned it. Mike Weber returned it to the 20.
Ah, damn. Okay. Damn.
And this is where, in my mind, I thought, okay, maybe this is not going to go all our way, because they took it 6 plays, 80 yards, and 210. And I was like, okay, that's Ohio State. That's the Buckeyes right there. They're not dead. All right? They know how to play football. And I thought, fuck, man. And we had already played the Iowa-Iowa State game earlier that year, the 44-41. I thought, maybe it's going to be one of those.
Yeah, I do remember they ran a nice little play. I think it was like a second man through the zone for a cover three play, and they found a guy kind of wide open on the far sideline. That was a big chunk play, and then I think someone just got beat on a post for the touchdown.
6 plays. They opened up with a JT Barrett run for 5. He threw it complete for 4 yards to Terry McLaurin. 3rd and 1, he ran for 6 yards. He was such a smooth dual threat.
But just listen to some of the names you're calling out in that box score.
I know.
JT Barrett to Terry McLaurin.
It's dogs.
So those are Big Ten all timers.
Yeah. They get the first down. They're on their own 35. Barrett runs for another 7. Then he hits a big pass. Dude, they had dogs. KJ Hill for 29 yards. And then Terry McLaurin for 29 yards. They hit back-to-back 29-yard passes, and they're in the end zone. And I thought, fuck, man.
Yeah, I remember thinking the same. It's like, well.
It was good while it lasted.
It was good to get it on top now, but tie ball game.
But hey.
And now our offense is going to take the field for the first time. And we have no idea what that's going to look like.
Right. And it's 7-7. You're like, okay. So it's basically like we received the kickoff.
Like we're going to run them punk bitches out of the stadium. That's what it was going to look like.
But hey, the old Hawkeye O, you wouldn't think it from this year. Maybe some people forgot, but the old Hawkeye O goes out, puts together a nice little 10-play, 63-yard drive. Now, we don't punch it in. But, you know, the cleanup crew came in and we got 3, right? Old McGexel, as I like to call him, with the big leg comes in. He knocks through
a little
30-yard field goal. And it's 10-7 Hawks, and we're playing football, boys. We're going back and forth with the big dogs.
Oops.
Don't let us hang around now. And then this is where I'm like, okay, this is really going to be this kind of game. Because then we kick off to them. Oh, my God, they had Dobbins, too. They had an absolute squad.
Yes. Yes.
Dude, every guy on their offense is starting in the league right now.
Except for their quarterback, yeah.
Except for him. And he was maybe the best player on their team at the time.
At the time.
They took that kickoff out again that time, tackled at the 16. Like I said, we had
that was the 16.
Dogs.
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 We had some dogs on that squad. They go 11 plays, 74 yards. Again, didn't take them very much time, just under 5 minutes. But they don't punch it in. Defense holds. It's 10-10. We're going blow for blow. It's a little rocky situation here.
Nobody fights Tyson blow for blow, dude. Nobody.
We are currently at this point. Let's see. They kick that field goal to match us with 4:32 left in the first. We're about a quarter of the way through, and we're doing things. We come out. It's 10-10, and we start mixing a little magic in now. Okay. Akram Wadley, questionable in some areas of life, unbelievable with the ball in his hand.
In the open field, facts. Undeniable.
Akram Wadley, 10-yard run on a first down. Nate Stanley, pass to Nick Easley, dog, 14 yards. Stanley, pass to Amir Smith-Marset, 6 yards. Wadley, run for 2. 3rd and 2, big play. This is where a lot of offenses would fold. I don't know how they're going to do in 3rd and 2 this weekend against Ohio State. But guess what? We dump it to Wad for another 9-yard gain. Wadley, 6-yard run. Wadley, 2-yard run. Wadley, 2-yard run. Guy was tired. Probably tired. Nate Stanley passed to Noah Fant for 20. Oh, shit. We got a tight end that is faster than your entire defense. Akram Wadley, loss of 1. Okay, there's a negative play. TJ Hawkinson, 10-yard pass. Oh, we have 2 first-rounders. You have to guard both of them. It's 17.
You know the sum of TJ and Noah's draft position is still in the first round?
9, 8, and 22
or something like that.
Yeah, that's wild.
Yeah.
Hawk catches a touchdown from the 10-yard line from Nathan Stanley. It's 17-10 Hawks. We are a few minutes into the second quarter, and I think Kinnick at this point is like, we're playing. Come on now.
We had a pretty fun time in that stadium. It was a rowdy night that night.
And what does Ohio State do? what a good team does, they answer, right? They answer. Seven plays, 77 yards, touchdown. They got I don't know where Johnny Dixon is, but they threw a 44-yard pass to him. Someone wasn't covering his ass. Kevin, what the fuck happened?
Yeah, that one, I don't remember that one exactly. But I do believe they didn't do shit on offense until we decided to run the not fake punt in the fourth quarter. After that, correct. I don't remember. I don't remember that last touchdown drive, but
we're going to. Where Ohio State hits the wall. I don't know what happened. I don't know if they didn't expect us to punch back for.
Like they were methodically marching down the field, five plays, they were hitting on some shots.
Yeah, they were doing Ohio State
because they had dudes, right? Dudes make big plays.
Explosive plays.
Right.
Explosive plays, something that will give Phil Parker fits until he dies. I want to tell you guys a quick little story before we get back to the episode about AdCraft apparel and merchandise. Now, I understand that this is an ad and you're reaching for the skip button. Don't do it. This is a great story. Last year, the Hawks went to the Big Ten championship game in Indianapolis. I'm telling you guys, within 1 week, we came up with a t-shirt idea. AdCraft got the design, helped us make the design, first of all, got the design, printed the t-shirts, and then worked with us to get them to me on my way to Indianapolis, the drive 8 hours to Indianapolis, so that we could have t-shirts to sell at the Big Ten championship game at our meetup. They literally dropped what they were doing. Tons of other schools at the time, volleyball, other basketball teams that were getting ready for their high school seasons. They're doing all these fundraisers, and they spent time and resources and energy to make sure that we were taken care of. And we aren't that important. So imagine what they'll do for you, something way more simpler, probably less of a timeline, if you decide that you want to print 10 custom t-shirts, right, for a family reunion, or a new work uniform for a small group at work, or your kid's little league team. They're going to give you the best service possible, and it doesn't stop at the best service. It's the time that it takes for them to do stuff. It's laser fast, right? It's the quality of their inventory and their design team and how crisp things look when they get stuff done. And then it's their full-scale capability of setting up the URL, literally the web store for you to sell off of, the easy back and forth of figuring out the finances of it, getting you paid, making you money on your stuff if that's what you're trying to do. It's an all-in-one. AdCraft custom apparel and merchandise. Go to adcraftwebstores.com to get started. So it's 17-17. We got a ball game. I'm sure at this point, they're checking in from other games around the country. The Hawkeyes in Kinnick Stadium have number 5 Ohio State tied almost half. When they score that touchdown to answer us and tie it at 17, there is 10 minutes left in the second quarter. Hawks offense struggles for the first time today. 3 and out. Maybe a little bit more like the 22 offense. We had an incomplete pass to Noah. JB ran for 1 yard. Incomplete to Amir Smith-Marset. Now that hurts. That one hurts because we got a punt alert at the Iowa 21. And when you've got what feels like 20 dogs on the other side of the punt, you feel like they might be coming after that sumbitch. So that was our first punt, Kev. And that was, I think I remember that one. I was like, okay, here we go. Let's go make a play.
Now, would that have been going to – that would have been going
– I believe that was going –
south end zone, I believe, right?
Towards the south end zone, I thought.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Mm-hmm. And I don't believe that was a great punt.
Colton hits one for 36, you know. And, of course, they got KJ Hill back there. The nice thing about short punts is that there's usually not a lot of returns. So – they start at their own 43-yard line. And this is where probably everybody in the stadium goes, all right, we've had them on the ropes. We haven't We haven't been behind in this game yet. Is this where Ohio State starts to do their thing? And what they didn't know was that we had a guy named
We had a dog.
And he decided to fucking bark that day. His name was Josh Jackson. And thank God we had him. They punt after seven plays. We go on a nice drive. What was the big play on that drive? Easley, Akram. Oh, we go back-to-back to Hawkinson for two plays in that next touchdown drive. It's 17-17, and we're at our own 12-yard line, and we go 22 yards to Hawk, and we back that up with another 24 yards to Hawk. Boy, was it nice to have old Tej out there.
And I think it was two seam routes, if I remember correctly.
All of a sudden, we go from our 12, and this is something that watching this year's Iowa offense, you would just, like, what if we could do that, you know? We go from our own 12-yard line, and in two plays, all of a sudden, we're at their 42. Run for Akram, incomplete. But then that's when Bosa gets his roughing the passer call.
Which was a questionable call.
Questionable call.
Gets upheld.
15 yards. Yeah,
you're right, Drake. That
was huge.
Could have changed the entire outcome of the game.
Bosa gets ejected. We go from their 40 with a 3rd and 8 to their 25 with a fresh set of downs. And in one play, we go, hey, Noah, run to that pylon. I'm going to throw it to you. You catch it. Touchdown, Hawks.
And he ran right up the tunnel.
Almost slipped and busted his ass.
Almost took a cheerleader on the way, too.
Correct. And it's 24-17 Iowa. And I think it's at this point, Bosa gets ejected. We've already got this momentum from the beginning of the game. We've proven that we can go back and forth with them. It now feels like this is where the momentum starts to roll a little bit. And it's on that next play where I described a couple passes to Dobbins where Josh decides to enter himself into the fray and gets a pick and takes it back to the Ohio State 22. Now it's like, holy shit, we have a 7-point lead. We're about to go to halftime. Why does it keep going down on me? That sounded wrong.
Did we score off that pick? Did we get a field goal off that pick to go up 10 at halftime?
No. We got if you ever remember the Urban Meyer pick where Akram has the ball.
Akram, yes.
And Urban Meyer's in the background with his hands up. That's that play.
That's that pick.
Off of that pick, we've got a minute 31 left. We go run to Akram for 3 yards to the 19. We actually get a penalty and go back 5 yards. So we're on the 24. Stanley throws it to Akram, and he runs it down to the 3. Mm-hmm. And then we throw it to Noah again for a tutter.
Yeah.
There's 30 seconds left when we score. We're up 2 touchdowns. And, boys, I don't know if there's a better feeling.
There wasn't.
Kickoff tackle inside the 20 again. Pretty sure that might have been yours truly on that one.
Got to get that one in there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's what feels really good. We get the ball at half. Now, we don't do anything with it, but we get the ball at half. We're up 2 tutters on number 5 in Kinnick. It's now dark, and we're getting the ball.
Moon's out, goon's out.
We come out of half and we go 3 and out. Congrats. Akram for 6, Akram for 3, Akram for no gain. They stuff us and we bring out Colton. We get a 42-yard punt.
And I remember that one. I remember that punt. That was a good punt.
Yep.
And me and, oh man, what's his? Noah Claiborne.
No. Clayburg?
Clayburg. We both, I think it was a kind of a low punt. Might have been a rugby punt.
I believe we rugbyed, yeah.
Guy catches off one bounce, he's going backwards, and then, yeah, we get him right away.
Yeah, there was. We just kind of clamped him down on that one.
Yeah.
Ohio State's got the ball. They go 3-0. Okay. See, and this is what happens. You come out in the second half, defense has juice. Defense has not been on the field a crazy amount by this point. They made plays. They had an interception. They had two interceptions, one for a tutter, one that put us in position to score. Our offense has held multiple sustained drives. Defense is fresh. Josie's still got his horns, and he's ready to play. So we get the ball. We go six plays, and we got a punt. We decide to punt at their 47, so we're on the plus 50. We leave our offense out there, and we let Nate punt.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember this because it rolled down and ended up being a touchback, and it was like, oh, my God. Nate just hit a 47-yarder, and it rolled into the end zone and damn near stuck him on the one.
It almost stuck him.
So not everything did go our way that day, but damn close. Defense comes up big. Kev, I don't know what you were calling down there, but they go 3-and-out.
Just came time to hunker down, and the boys were like,
hunkered.
We got this, boys.
We're halfway through.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but like second half, we just started playing really, really good, and they couldn't do dick.
I would
y'all,
say so.
Because y'all weren't expecting us to give you 24 in the whole game, much less 24 by halftime or whatever we've given you. So
30,
at this point, you're how many?
It was 31-17 at half.
Well, they gave us
31.
You gave us 24. Half. You gave us 24. You were right.
I was right, wasn't I?
Yeah, yeah, because defense gave you 7.
We got 7.
Oh, yeah. We gave you 24. And you didn't expect that for the whole four quarters. So you guys had to feel like you were literally playing with the most house money of all time.
100%.
Something was feeling good because the Ohio State Buckeyes, who are an offensive attack at minimum, come out and in their first three drives of the second half, they go 3-and-out, 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 interception. That's the first four drives.
So the first four drives coming out of the half, they go for a total of 13 yards and an interception.
After their second 3-and-out, our offense puts it together a little bit. Again, 31-17, and this is where the polecat happens. We're feeling pretty good. We're up 2 touchdowns. We're now in the second half of the third quarter. We're getting close to fourth quarter, boys. 15 minutes. We're about to do it.
Deep in the third quarter, pal.
We're about to do it now, okay? Everybody at this point believes. It's past belief. It's, we got to stomp the throat.
Bro, we're deeper in the game by this point than Urban is in college chicks.
Facts. In fact, Urban at this point is probably, he's feeling back in his pants a little bit. Because he thinks, I'm getting bent. What's going on? Okay. So, 9 plays. We throw incomplete to Amir. Incomplete to Hawk, but they get a penalty for 15 yards. Chris Worley. Dude, I'm telling you. They got dogs. Worley was playing for somebody, I know for a fact, for a while. If not still playing.
Yeah, and Jerome Baker was standing right next to him. And he's starting for the Dolphins for like the 6th year in a row.
So we get a penalty. That takes us out to our own 37, closer to midfield. Akram for 3 yards to our 40. Nice. Dude, Easley was so money.
Kid knew how to find a soft spot in his own.
11-yard reception to midfield gets us a first. Akram gets sneaky for 22 yards. Can't tackle the guy.
Unless you're the law.
Correct? So now we're at their 27. Nate gets sacked. We don't love that. We throw to Akram. 10 yards. 3rd and 3. Try to go to Brandon Smith on 3rd and 3. Incomplete. No good. Let's kick the field goal. Up 2 touchdowns. Kick that motherfucker. Why not?
Nah.
course, it's at this point where I think that our coaching staff had an inflated sense of how fucking good we were.
I don't want to say good, but
I think it's just take advantage of the momentum, man. Try and just create magic.
And at two touchdown game, what are we halfway through the third quarter?
No, it was 2 minutes left in the third.
Whatever. 17 minutes left in the game. That is still very much a ball game. That is against a team that could score like Ohio State. That is by no means like, oh, we're up two touchdowns. We can just play for time and kick the field goal and we're going to win this thing. Still,
that's what I'm saying. If you're up two touchdowns, hey, let's make it a three-score game. No doubt. Miguel Racinos. But they had other plans. Now, as I've said this before, I'm not going to go through the whole thing. We put this play in 3 weeks before, maybe 2 weeks before, at Northwestern. We didn't get a chance. This play was supposed to happen on the right hash in the first quarter of a game that we were controlling. It's now deep in the third. The sun has gone down. We're about to turn college football on its head. And I run down from the far end of the field because we're heading towards the south end zone at this point. I run onto the field thinking, awesome. Let's kick this through, Miguel. Let's go do our thing. Keegan Render grabs me. Must have been sent by Coach Woods because Coach Woods couldn't find me. We had practiced Polcat every week. It stayed in the playbook. Keegan looks at me almost more scared or calm than I was, like than I should.
Or one or the other, pick one.
He was
mutually exclusive.
You're right. what I'm trying to say it was there was an eerie stillness to him. And he looks me in the eyes and he goes, "We're running it." I stop and I look him back in the eyes and I said, "We're running what?" He said, "Polcat, we're running it." Dick in stomach. I turn back. No. I say, "Okay." And probably with a voice that high, because I'm now fourth grader, giddy that we're about to run a trick play at recess. Everybody has the call. So I step up to the ball. We shift. My hands are not on the ball yet. I'm still in just a crouched athletic position. I look to the left, which is where most of our players went. It drew most of their defense. I see Urban Meyer sprint down the sideline. You can see it on the clip. He runs to the referee, and nothing happens. And it's at this point I go, "Oh, fuck. We're running it." Colton gives the motion. I believe it was, I don't remember who came across as a decoy. Runs by. I'm looking between my legs now. First of all, by the way, I have to give a shotgun snap. Never done that in my life. Not hard, but when your hands, you can't feel them, harder than you think. I see the motion guy run by between my legs. Colton gives me the knee, and I tell you, boys, I've never felt more electricity in my life because I'm snapping the fucking ball.
As soon as you snapped it, did you think, "Holy shit, I snapped it"?
100%.
What percent did you think that this thing was going to go through after his call? Like, you guys line up, you break out into the formation, you're like, what percent is like, okay, either KF or Urban or someone on their defense is calling a timeout?
Zero.
You knew what was happening?
There was a timeout happening on either sideline, one of them, or we were going to get called for a penalty for illegal formation. Something was going to happen. Until I snapped that ball, it was like it was a video game. And when I snapped that ball, I thought, we're live. It's like when you got a couple outs left on the poker table, Drake. We're live.
But only a couple.
And I tell you this, part of that play, if you watch, is I stay down in my stance to make it look like I'm not eligible. I'm not, don't bring any attention to me. And I was supposed to stay there for 2 seconds, two count, one Mississippi, two Mississippi. You can count it on the film. It's a lot faster than that because when you snap the ball and you're live and you're the guy that's throwing to and you're a fucking long snapper, time doesn't work the same. Also, there was a five-star.
Coming after Guttenberg.
Coming after Guttenberg. Wouldn't be the last time in that game. So I look up.
That the only difference was that second time that five-star came in Guttenberg.
He got him. So now I just said when I snapped that ball, I've never felt more electricity. Think about a second later when I pick my head up and all I see is Eel Prairie, green grass, and an end zone. And I think, oh my God, Colton, just get me one. And as I turn around, I see the fucking most mediocre eighth grade shot put I've ever seen. And warranted. Again, five-star coming after his ass. Ball is in the air. And at that point,
well, hey, man, maybe if you had waited that full 2 seconds, then that ball would have
been
right.
It would have been in your basket.
It was supposed to be.
Maybe, but if I'm in a different spot, does Colton throw it even worse or does he overthrow me? I don't know. But let me tell you this. I came out so hot, like, just lead me, because I'm about to punt this fucking thing into the student section. And I see it behind me. I make an incredibly athletic move to stop my momentum, turn myself around, catch the thing, guaranteed. Drake and I, both 100% reception rates in our careers. And also see the five-star turning around to come after me like a thoroughbred. Might have gotten excited, tried to continue sprinting while looking backwards. Didn't work out. Stumble, stumble, stumble. Sniper in the press box. Most disappointing moment of my life. I come sliding to a halt, looking at the goal line. And I think two things. I think that was cool. I caught the ball. I just did that. I'm going to get so many fucking text messages. The second part was, fuck, that sucks. I'm never scoring in college football. And that was my only chance. So to bring you back out of that.
Still can't believe it happened, dude. That's so hilarious.
Every single guy. That's just
perfect. He couldn't have scripted it better for the long snapper to get a chance and then just fall at the 2 yard line.
Now, I don't regret anything. What I do regret is
not putting a hand down and balancing yourself for one step.
No, no, no. Tyler's fat at this point. Heart rate, 280, not 180. 280. I run down for some reason to the other end where the specialists stand. Why did I run there? I don't know. In one play, Nate Stanley decides to be a gladiator and with somebody hanging off of him, laser beam TJ Hawk for a touchdown. Great. 37-17. We got to kick a PAT. When I tell you that I can't feel my fucking body at this point because of the adrenaline, I snapped that ball. Before I snapped that ball for the PAT, I told Colton, this is going to be ass. I cannot feel my hands. This is going to suck. And if you watch the replay, that ball came back like it came off of Colton's foot. Miguel finds a way, sticks it through. There is, let me find it, 2 minutes and 30 seconds left, and the boys are up 38-17. And boy, at this time, it felt like
it's a party.
we just threw a pass to the long snapper. We're up three tutters, and it's about to be the fourth quarter. Drake's ordering bottles at Summit at this point.
Oh, yeah.
To make things better, they go three and out.
Well, at this point, their entire world is just upside down. The stadium, the entire city is shaking.
If they wanted to be in the game after that touchdown by us, they literally had to respond on that drive. And, yeah, three and out. Pass incomplete, run for no gain, pass incomplete. Guess what? You're punting.
And the stadium is going fucking nuts. They haven't stopped. They haven't stopped. And the guys on their sideline, they're over there saying, did we just let a long snapper catch a pass? What is going on? They quit.
And this is like you just said, man. It's at this point in the game where I just remembering, you know how like Kinnick will get loud and get quiet. Like, you know, big play happens, gets loud, right. You know, everyone settles back in, watch the next play. I think from that moment on, it was loud the rest of the game. It's like there was just buzzing in the air, even in like commercial break, timeout, whatever. The stadium was just absolutely electric the rest of the game.
Well, when they go three and out there, they punt. We've got the ball on our own 40. We hand it to JB for four. And then Drake, I think this is the play you referenced.
This is the play right here.
You bust open a cut block, and JB sees space for 53.
The most space of all time. You've never seen a backside, I guess it would be C-gap, open up like that in your life.
So you open that up for him. He runs 53 yards to the three. He gets hawked down. We give it to him again. He gets 1 yard. And two plays later, you get repaid with a 2 yard pass from our guy, Big Dick Nate. And you give the biggest X-Man flex.
Super Saiyan. That was Dragon Ball Z.
To the corner end zone. And if it wasn't a party before, it is.
It was a party then, because the fullback just scored for the first time since Brett Morse.
It's 45-17.
And this is, again, I don't know what it's like to stand in the middle of a nuclear reactor. But I can only imagine it was what it was like that night in Kinnick, because there was energy unmatched.
At this point,
that's actually funny that you said that.
My style was tingling.
The same nuclear reactor made its way to Kinnick's bottles or Summit's bottle service that same evening.
It's at this point, Drake, that play where you score is actually the first play of the fourth quarter.
It was. Yeah. Because Brian called it. And then we just stood there at the TV timeout and waited and just about it.
Did you think?
Oh, I knew I was getting the ball for sure.
And what? And did you have any exciting thoughts about that? Or you're like, fuck, man.
The only thing I thought was don't false start. I was like, I know I can catch. I played receiver in high. I've caught plenty of balls.
Right.
Just don't false start.
Right. And you had Nate thrown to you, which I'm envious of.
Dude, you know what's funny is that the ball, because of the way Nate threw it, he was rolling to his right, which automatically makes the ball turn a little bit. And he threw it. I was so open because the linebacker just dropped me at the goal line.
He bit.
He took three steps out and then dropped me. And when he threw the ball, it just turned sideways. I ended up catching it long way, two ends of a loaf of bread.
Yeah. This after your touchdown, I remember snapping the PAT. It's 48-17, good guys.
No, 45.
45-17, good guys. And I look into the stands. There's 15 minutes left. Usually in a game with Ohio State, that's going to be an important 15.
Mm-hmm.
I look into the stands, and it is just pure elation, pandemonium. People are looking at each other.
Did you see red hats and shirts headed towards the exit?
Leaving. And there, everyone is like, what is going there? We're floating. Kinnick is floating at this point.
Yeah.
No one understands how this is happening. but we love it. And it's a, it's a once in a,
this is a lifetime experience.
I mean,
it's like actual magic was happening. Like, it actually felt like, how in the world are we living this right now? How is this our life when this is happening? And holy shit, this is unbelievable.
They come out after your touchdown. It's a rough day for them, right? They're down 28, four tutters. They go incomplete to McLaurin. And Josh gets him again.
With the nastiest interception, probably. Nah, it wasn't this one.
This was another late pass over the middle, and Josh makes a
Yeah.
He almost strips it.
He pulled that one away from him.
Yep, he swiped it away.
Yeah.
And it takes it up to another level. People, again, we're floating. We are ascending to the moon at this point.
Yeah.
No one understands what is happening. With that, we go Akram for five, Akram for four. We're just trying to run clock at this point. It's like, hey, Ak, you're going to get the ball because we want this clock to tick. Stanley runs for no gain. We kick a 30-yarder. Miguel, automatic. XL. Now it's 48-17. And this is back. I mean, their back is broken, but this is insult to injury. So they get the ball. Miguel kicks it for a touchback. They drive 12 plays for 50 yards. And then Josh makes the most athletic play that's potentially ever been made in Kinnick.
I'm pretty sure it was a SportsCenter number one play of the
for a while.
I don't know for a while, but I'm pretty sure that weekend it was.
He goes up. He one-hand OBJs it. I didn't know it was possible to jump this high.
Yeah, I didn't know it was that bad. Yeah. Whoa.
And he falls down on the 1 yard line, and Barrett at this point has got to be thinking, I fucking suck.
Just go. I need to go back to Columbus now.
We got to get out of here ASAP. That's Josh's third pick of the game, our fourth collectively. It ends their drive just inches away from the end zone of them scoring, which they have not done
since the
that was a longer pass. I think they weren't even in the red zone yet.
No, but I mean, if they complete that, it's caught in the end zone.
Correct. Right.
And there's now 9:38 left.
But yeah, to your point, Kluve, after they score their second touchdown and it's 17-17, their following drives go like this. Four plays, 18 yards, interception. One play, they take a knee before the end of half. Three plays, 6 yards, punt. Three plays, 7 yards, punt. Three plays, 0 yards, punt. Two plays, 0 yards, interception. 12 plays, 50 yards, interception.
Fuck.
Whoa.
To one of the best offenses in the country.
Dude, that run of drives from them, I don't know if you can look back and against a bigger – better opponent. I don't know if there's a run of seven or how many however drives you just mentioned there where our defense has balled out more than that. That's incredible.
You know why Phil's so short and walks so hunched over?
Because he's carrying everybody?
Because heavy is the head that wears the crown, motherfuckers. That's the king.
It is after this pick that we come to the infamous play of the night.
Yeah.
Oh, the best.
We got to go over this one. So we intercept that on the on the 1 yard line. We get lucky and we get a penalty to bring us out to the six. They get an offside. We go JB for one, JB for three, JB for four. And that gives us the first on third and one. Then we go JB for four. We get a penalty. We get a loss on a running play. Akram runs for three. It's third and 12. This isn't a great situation. I'm having fun, Kev, and now we got a punt alert, right?
Yep.
And not only do we have a punt alert, but it's at our own 12-yard line. So I'm snapping it to a guy that's standing in the end zone.
And Colton, the guy that's standing in the end zone decides to make an interesting decision for a guy standing in his own end zone.
There is how much time is left in the game? There's like 5 minutes left in the game at this point.
There's There's 4 minutes and 42 seconds left.
And we are up 31
points.
We're up 31 points.
There is not much awareness. There is not much in the world that could have pissed off KF at that moment in time. One of our teammates found a way to do it.
He found it, dude. He found it. He
was livid.
Livid.
I snapped the ball, and because we're on a high note, I'm feeling good. I fly out of there.
But we've talked about this before. Like I'm standing right next to Kluve in the punt formation. Ball snapped. We're running down the field. I'm like, it's a loud stadium. Probably didn't hear ball come off the foot. Whatever.
I always.
Then the crowd gets loud. I'm like, that's never a good sign. The ball get blocked. Look around. And here comes Guttenberg.
Bumbling, stumbling.
I would love to see the clip on this. I might have to go back and find it. I think Kevin and I were almost in stride with each other, and we turned to each other. And I kind of saw Kevin out of my peripheral as I'm turning to see what's going on. And I see Colton Rastetter.
You ever watch like those nature documentaries? And the zebra's trying to get away, but then here comes the cheetah just eight times faster.
And boy, is that cheetah fast.
It happened really fast, but also looked like it was happening in slow motion. Like you just saw him getting hawked down from a mile away.
He got eaten.
Yeah.
He got eaten. And then
I think I remember like, wait, did we call that? Did I miss that? And then I see Woods, KF, and Wallace are having a little conversation on the sideline.
In my head, I thought, I've got to go
snatched him up by his chest.
In my head, I swear to God, I thought this. I thought, I got to go find Wallace and tell him that I did not tell him to do that. I have to find a way to get myself out of this situation and distance myself from that kid immediately because yeah. I am not a part of that play.
Yeah.
And yeah. he got,
dude. And you know, what's hilarious.
It takes a lot for KF to call you out in the media.
Oh, wow.
KF comes out. Yeah. We did not call.
But you know what? On a small scale, I'm happy that Colton has that. Cause forever, In 50 years, when he's 80 years old, he is going to look back and there's going to be film for his kids and his grandkids. And they're going to be like, Grandpa, what the fuck were you thinking? Grandpa, that guy's way faster than you.
Dude, I've never seen somebody more sad after winning a game by 31 points against a top five team.
Yikes. So he turns and
they go one play touchdown, and Phil Parker is now joining the livid committee.
Yeah, Phil now has a pitchfork and he is hunting Rastetters.
Because 17 versus the number 4 team in the country sounds a lot better than 24.
Yes. One play touchdown. I don't know if they have their backups in at this point.
No.
So, okay, well, I remember this specifically. We gave the ball to Torin 5 times in a row, and he was bulldozing people. Mm-hmm. They quit. They clearly quit. He gets it for – oh, I see. That's why. We have a short field because they onside kick. We recover. Torin runs for 2. He busts one for 34. He runs for 2. He runs for 3. He runs for 6. It's Torin Young all day, every day. Touchdown, Hawks. Miguel Racinos with the snap from Tyler Kluver, 55 for your Iowa Hawkeyes, 24 for the Ohio State Buckeyes. And that leaves us with a minute 40 left in the game. They run 4 plays. They get 5 or 6 yards on each of them. The clock runs out. It had felt in the bag for so long as far as relative to the game. Like it felt like since I had the Polecat in the third quarter, like we won this game. And so I didn't think of a field rush.
I was also not expecting the field rush.
I knew it was coming.
There was never a doubt.
I run across the field to find their specialist, shake the hands, do the post game, you know, what you do every time. I turn around. Kinnick is caving in on itself. And I think, enjoy this while it lasts. Because you just caught a, you just caught a pass against the top five team in the country at night in Kinnick. This is never happening again. You have peaked. That's it.
Yeah, those field storms did feel like in the moment you literally had to tell yourself, like, enjoy this because this is your peak.
Yeah.
I just remember people like asking me, can I have your helmet? Can I have your gloves? Someone asked me for my spikes. Like, no, I gotta walk out here, man.
Are you out of your
Can
mind?
You imagine Kevin walking up the tunnel in his socks?
Naked.
No pants on.
Let's be honest, man. We could have all walked naked downtown that night and nobody would have given a shit.
100%. 100%. So that is that's a little walk back through memory lane. We're at almost 70 minutes on this podcast. We haven't even done Ward's winners yet. Drake found Jesus, so at least it's going to only be a two-man segment. But for the end of the pod, we can hit the music.
DJ Kevin. Yes.
Yeah. All I do is win, no matter what.
I love how just like chopped together that was. Like that was some early editing done like 2 years ago, and I'm never going to change it. I could get better music and blend that better, but I'm just not going to. So, Kev, give us some picks so we can wind this thing down. I have three picks that I made on Sunday.
I got three picks I made in the last like 30 seconds.
Okay.
So why don't you go ahead so I can give the people at least a minute's worth of
effort.
Of effort, yeah.
Well, this is
You're not as betting much anymore, Kev?
Brother, I had a busy day, man. I haven't had a chance to look at the board.
Guy works, you know. Guy's got a company to CEO. So shout out to Pickit. P-I-K-K-I-T. This is the app that I downloaded. We've partnered with. They're our new sponsor.
And these dudes are insane, huh?
Well, they're Iowa fans. They've got a really cool app here that – Kev, I don't know if either of you have gotten to check it out. I'm dead serious. I would. This is not because I'm reading an ad for them. You guys should download.
Here's the thing, dude. I need to become a sports bettor if I'm going to be using Pickett. So now I got to start doing my thing.
Well, what I'm saying is, you guys know that I don't throw in a lot of bets. I'm the guy who throws in the $10 ceremonial first bet. This made
me. I can definitely use them for UFC, right?
I believe so. Yeah. And this made me throw in money to my Caesar Sports account.
What, so that 10 bucks? Because that's what you're typically all about, $10.
$40. And if you want, on the Pickett app, you can follow me. There's a social media aspect to this. So you can follow other people, and you can look at their bets, who they like to bet, what sports, what players, parlays, money line, straight bets. You can tail them. You can see how many units they're up or down on the week, on the month, on the year. It's a pretty incredible app, and it literally made me start betting again. So Pickit, P-I-K-K-I-T. I said a code on the last podcast that was my personal code. Because we are partnered with them, they have changed that to a custom code that's a little bit easier for everybody to remember. It's WALKON. W-A-L-K-O-N. Use the code WALKON when you sign up for the Pickett app. This app is for anybody that does sports betting, but especially the people who have multiple sports books apps. It aggregates all your bets so that you don't have to go into each app and see, oh crap, I forgot who I put money down on DraftKings, who I put money down on FanDuel. It brings them all in, makes it look really nice, and allows you to see all the data right there in front of you. Code WALKON at sign up. You'll get a free $3 with a chance at a free $100 cash in, and you'll be ready to go. So on the Pickett app, I saw a guy looking at the Hawks line early on when it came out this week. The Hawks are being disrespected. I'll have none of it. I'll have none of that. So I have one bet already in for this weekend, and there will be more, but my one bet upcoming is a parlay. Now, these are my three individual picks, but I have parlayed them together as well. Syracuse is the third best team in the ACC. They're playing the best team in the ACC, Clemson, this weekend. They opened up as a plus 13 point dog. I took Syracuse plus 13. Kansas, they were undefeated. They've had a rough couple weeks. They are now going to Baylor, and they are a 9-point dog. Baylor has also struggled at times, lost last week to West Virginia in a high-scoring game. Give me Kansas plus 9. Let me clear my throat. Because we just went through how the Hawks dismantled the Ohio State Buckeyes in Kinnick 5 years ago. They meet again for the first time since, and the Hawks are a 29-point dog, at least when I got them. That is disrespect. That is a middle finger to Phil Parker and Jack Campbell and the rest of those dogs. Give me Iowa to cover the 29 points. They're going to make this a ball game. Maybe. At least a ball game more than 29 points. Those are my three picks. Three dogs. My three picks of the weekend. The floor is yours.
Stole a couple of my picks there.
Oh, you like those, huh?
Liked a couple of those picks.
Hey, let's double down.
Nah, we're going to give them some different picks. Can't be giving people the same picks.
Last time we had the same pick at one.
That's true. That's true. But we'll go different. All right, we'll go different. Houston at Navy. The Midshipmen are they've been having down a couple of years. They quite honestly don't do much of anything well except when they're playing the other academies, they come to play. But Houston minus 3 at Ann Arbor. Give me Houston. Ole Miss is going undefeated to Baton Rouge LSU, and they're getting 2 points?
Wow. That's interesting.
Excuse me? What has this LSU team done to prove that they are a superior team to the Ole Miss Rebels of the state of Mississippi? I don't know.
That might be a Death Valley 2 points.
It's got to be, but I mean, Tennessee went in there 2 weeks ago and beat the fucking
just
shit
absolutely
out of them.
Just, yeah, picked them apart.
Yeah, so another high explosive offense going into Baton Rouge. I expect more of the same. Give me Ole Miss plus 2.
I like that. I like that a lot.
Plus 2. And then to finish it off, brother.
Come on.
Brother.
Yeah.
Just did a whole podcast about the last time we played these sons of bitches. And they're probably a little pissed off, right?
What?
You know, saw the quote, Ryan Day says that. Game's a scar on our program.
What?
They remember. I don't give a shit. Hawks plus 29? What? Brother, we don't need 29 points to keep this a 29-point game. That doesn't make any sense. Phil Parker's not letting up 30 points. Give me the Hawks plus 29.
Love that.
I've got a couple of UFC picks for y'all,
too. Oh, here we go.
Their best receiver is out, too, I believe. Smith and Jigba is still out with a hamstring.
Give it to us, Drake.
All right. So, Charles Oliveira, he's like a plus 250 or better underdog, and he's on an 11-fight win streak. Wow. I mean, getting the champ at plus 250 or better is insane value. So I think that's just crazy not to take that value if you're betting the fight.
I'm putting him next to his name.
Then you get TJ Dillashaw at like plus 170 or-ish is what I was seeing against Aljamain. And I know TJ is, you know, a couple years past when he was the champ, but when he was the champ, he was one of the best on earth and nobody really debated that. So, I mean, You're getting him at really good odds. I might take that as well. And then
Dillashaw is Shreddy McTeddy.
Oh, yeah. And then I'd have to say that Piotr Jan has a better chance than not of beating Sean O'Malley, but Sean's odds are going to be insane. And in a stand-up fight, especially a three-round stand-up fight, Piotr Jan's not a fast starter by any means. He got smoked in the first couple rounds by Aljo. And it's a three-round fight against a really good striker. So I could see Sean finding his way to win a draw. Judge's decision. So that's three underdogs that I really like, and they're all in the last three fights. That'd be sick if three underdogs won the last three fights.
That'd be a hell of a parlay now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like this underdog parlay, that's kind of why I picked those three, because it's going to give you insane odds.
I like it. Almost 120, an hour and 20 minutes. My voice is going to shit after talking this much. COVID's killing me. One hell of a recap, one hell of a game 5 years ago. Maybe the 22 Hawks can find their way to a similar story. It sure would be a nice one if we could. It's going to be tough. The boys are going into enemy territory. Those are our picks. Anything from the boys, Drake and Kevin, as we cap this one off?
Hope we don't get beat by 30.
I was just jotting down as we were recapping that whole 2017 game. We need turnovers. They had a lot of penalties that game. We got to play cleaner football. I'm going to quote Walmart guy on this one a little bit because they got a damn good football team and they are looking for a national title. But, we're going to need some turnovers. We need to play clean football. Make it close in the fourth quarter and maybe you never know what happens.
I agree. I think the key to this game, if you're going to stay in it and be in it in the second half, is you have to jump them and make it an absolute dogfight. Not something this year's team has been prized on, but it doesn't mean that they don't have it in them. That's how you're going to beat a top five opponent. Let's see if they can do it. Hawks by a million to cover the spread. Hawks by less than 29. Hawks by... Tough one.
More than negative 29.
Yeah. Hopefully we got a little something to talk about on the recap. I would imagine Drake's not going to be there if we're playing the odds on that bet. But who knows? Who knows? We'll see you guys in 362.
I'll tell you what, if my underdog parlay hits, I might come back just to talk shit.
We would love that. 362 on Monday. Until then, peace.
Peace. Thank you.